Agenda item number 10. Oyster Ground lease application for Johnson.
Last minute email in this morning. So first we can say that presentation. This is an Oyster Planting Ground application by Kaylee Johnson. She's requesting to lease approximately 10 acres of Oyster Planting Ground within the York River near the mouth of Service Creek in Gloucester County. The application is protested by a nearby Highland property owner. In March of this year, we did receive this application from Ms. Johnson seeking to lease this area as I just described. She did contact a private surveyor and actually had the ground surveyed. The location is this application right here. Again, this is the York River, Coleman Bridge, and the Institute of Marine Science location here. This is Saris Creek, into Saris Creek here. This is Ms. Johnson's application. You may recall a number of these applications were subject of a previous commission hearing related to land grant applications. Those issues are not related to this application. The protestant's property is this point of land, mouth of Surrey Creek. There's an aerial photograph of the same area. Again, this is the subject application. This is the property owned by the protestant. Existing lease and then there's a number of pending applications in the area. The protestant is also protesting this application, but we're not ready yet to bring that one to the commission. This is the survey I referenced earlier that was done by a private surveyor and submitted to our office. It's a little faded out here. There is a handwritten that we reviewed this plat. It does say 10 acres plus or minus. That was the application area. The actual area of this lease was actually 9.2 acres after surveyed, so that was an error on the private surveyor. We would have to have the exact acres, but because we protested, this is as far as we've gone with any kind of plat for this application. This survey did mirror basically the area that was applied for originally by Ms. Johnson. So after the ground was surveyed, we did receive an email from Mr. Barr in July. And he noted his objections. They included that it did appear to encompass an area adjacent to the southern end of his highland property, adjacent to a beach area that he uses. That the 10 acres requested was excessive of an area to plant and grow oysters within what he deems a residential area, and that any proposed cages on the lease near his highland would interfere with the uses of this area for swimming and walking in the shallow water adjacent to his property. Subsequent to that, apparently Ms. Johnson and Mr. Barr did meet, and this drawing is a result of that meeting provided to us by Ms. Johnson, indicating that she believed this was an agreement that they came to during their meeting. And this is not really to scale, so it's a little bit distorted, but the important thing here is Ms. Johnson believed the agreement was with Mr. Barr to stay 75 feet offshore with the configuration shaped sort of like this. Even though the acreage was 2.4 and this whole area is 9 acres, obviously this box is bigger than 2.4, but generally the dimensions are somewhat correct in that it would be 75 feet, 450 feet wide at some point here, even though it's a skewed line, and then distances offshore. We did send this drawing to Mr. Barr to confirm that this was the agreement that made with Ms. Johnson, and he indicated that he had met with her but that he would like the staff to come out and meet with him on the property because he was not comfortable in signing off yet based on this drawing. So we did meet with Mr. Barr, I did, in October of this year at his property. And I will note here that this piece of property that he owns is a very historic piece of property. It's known as Little England. You can Wikipedia it and find out the information, but basically it was piece of land that was patented from the king back in 1651, and it does have an existing plantation home and a number of outbuilding barns, all of which date back to the 1700s, the house itself being built in 1716. So after reviewing the application area with Mr. Barr, and we actually came down to this location of his property to view this area, he provided some comments on what he thought was more acceptable. He did indicate that he was no longer in agreement with this drawing that Ms. Johnson had provided, and that he would prefer that this application stay at least 220 feet offshore from the shoreline. Staff agreed to produce a map reflecting that and send it to him to confirm that the configuration looked like what we discussed during that meeting. We did create that map. We also talked about the other protested application and the configuration that he felt was acceptable for that one, but we won't talk any more about that today. But in essence, this was the area that we agreed when he was out there would be acceptable. This is about 220 feet offshore of his property, and this is the configuration that he indicated he would prefer, leaving this area not to be leased. He did indicate during our meeting that he would likely apply himself if this was approved by the commission, and that he would attempt to lease this area and probably this area as well once this came to the commission and if this was approved, and possibly some area extending up into Sarah's Creek, because his property goes basically all the way up here and out to the York River. So this entire area is his property owns. His house is actually right here, which is quite a distance from this. There are a lot of trees around the house and a little slough here with trees around it. I don't think you could really see any activity way out here from this house. He did indicate that his family does use this beach area. There's a series of groins here that do capture sand, and there is a fairly nice beach here. There's riprap in addition along the upper part of this area here, and he has a way he can drive a golf cart and stuff in this area. So I don't doubt that his family may use. There is a bulkhead here, so the access is limited in getting down to the beach in this area, but you have to cross the riprap, but you can walk down to this beach area in this section where this riprap is. So based on this drawing, we sent this to Mr. Barr to see if it was acceptable, and if it was, we would then send it to Ms. Johnson to see if it was acceptable to her. While we were waiting to hear back from Mr. Barr, we did go ahead and send this drawing to Ms. Johnson, but very shortly thereafter, we did hear back from Mr. Barr, and he indicated that this was still not acceptable. And he still wanted it further offshore. He indicated that was acceptable, except for this area right here, which we came up with a compromise. Ms. Johnson indicated she was not acceptable for the previous one. I'm sorry, let me go back. So Mr. Barr did indicate that this would be acceptable. When we showed it to Ms. Johnson, she indicated that she really felt that first she had an agreement with Mr. Barr to start with to only be 75 feet off based on that first map I showed you, and that pushing her this far offshore, she does want to do, I think, cage aquaculture, and she is here, that this would really start putting her out in water that was too deep. A lot of it would be too deep for what she wanted to do. So I proffered to make a third modification and send that drawing to Mr. Barr, and that's this drawing. So this is kind of a compromise between the 75 feet of the original agreement between Mr. Barr and Ms. Johnson and the 220 feet that he requested. So this is 150 feet. Basically, if you follow it around the shoreline, this is, generally speaking, approximately 150 feet. I did send this to Mr. Barr, and he indicated that this was more acceptable to what he would be willing to accept. So basically, he's saying, move this area back out to here. He apparently would be willing to accept this area. He also noted, and if you look at aerial photography of this area, this is a very shallow, fairly hard bottom sandbar here at this point. And it kind of extends out in a oval like that. So it continues to be fairly shallow, and Ms. Johnson may be able to address this. I know she's been out to the site and walked some of this. Mr. Barr indicated he had as well. That there is a section out here that still remains fairly shallow. Some of this does get considerably deeper as you're getting out in this area. So this was Mr. Barr's, and the email you have and the map you have is this same map again that he sent again this morning, reiterating that this is more acceptable to what he would prefer. In the conversation with Ms. Johnson, when we talked about this 3.7 and then this alternate, and she's here, she'll address this, I think. She indicated she may really want to still seek, you know, releasing this entire area offshore here, which I would assume he still objects to her leasing some of this, but maybe not this, because he indicated that this was still shallow and that might be acceptable. So the email you've gotten today, he wanted me to read this into the record, so I will do that for him. You have a copy of it. He notes that he could not attend the meeting this morning because he's attending a hearing of the Gloucester Economic Development Board, on which he's a member, and they're voting on several issues that he said I cannot miss. I ask you to read this in my place or submit it, which we're doing both. My reason for objecting to this application that was submitted previously has not changed. I strongly object to the commission allowing applicants to install oyster cages in the shallow water closer than what is shown on my last attached submittal, which is the one that's with this email. My children and their friends and neighbors enjoy accessing our beach by boats and spending time on our beach. I do not believe the commission should allow an applicant to, in essence, block my access from the river to my property by allowing cages to be installed in shallow water across my property. We could be unable to run a boat up to our property or even walk a boat up to the beach if there are cages across my beach. I have taken time to meet with the applicant in order to understand her intentions and have tried reasonably to negotiate and compromise with her to come to an agreement on an area further away from the shoreline so that we can still access our beach and so she can still raise oysters. If you look at an aerial, there's still a lot of shallow water further offshore, straight off the point of the corner of the property, which I was noting earlier. After listening to the applicant's plans and objectives, I do not feel there is a justified reason to allow her to restrict the use of my waterfront property by installing cages inside my last proposal of approximately 150 feet on the western end, but 220 feet on the eastern end. That's that line that he's moved back offshore in this drawing. I respectfully ask that you do not grant permission to the applicant to lease the area inside this boundary. So based on that, obviously, Ms. Johnson will want to speak to you. Staff would still recommend this original, not original, but the third modification request that we believed was a compromise between not only the original application, but the 75 feet originally conceded by Ms. Johnson, and the 220 asked for by Mr. Barr, and then back to about 150 feet along the entire shoreline. Should be noted that our regulation that allows cages on a lease does restrict that you could not place cages in this area along this entire reach that would restrict navigation, so that he could not access his property at all. But also note that he owns property beyond this application, and you could access this property by avoiding this lease and coming in across this other lease, which I don't believe there's any cages on this lease. So this is our current recommendation. Again, it's 3.7 acres that would be approximately 150 feet off the shore and leave an area inshore and an area offshore as currently vacant. Or may indeed apply for any of this area. Approves any configuration here. He may seek to apply for the remaining area. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions. Staff did a lot of work on trying to come up with a compromise on this one. And I thought we were really close. I think we are still close. We've seen a number of configurations here. And I'll leave it at that.
Questions from the commission, Mr. Erskine?
Ben, I appreciate there's been a lot of work and detail put into this application. It seems to the east and the west that there are active oyster ground leases. Are those being used, and how are they being used?
Well, it's interesting that you raised this. I think one of the reasons that Mr. Barr objected to this once he saw the stakes, because the private surveyor did set stakes on the original 9 acres, which were stakes right up here near the shore, and they're still there. This lease did have cages on it. And Mr. Barr indicated the day I was there, it was pretty high tide, and we couldn't see them very well. But you could see them in aerial photography when you look. The cages on this lease were mostly in this area. Some were actually inshore of the lease line. They were actually physically up here on Mr. Barr's property at Mean Low Water. I mean, they were probably above Mean Low Water, or real close to it. They were off the lease. And they, according to him, I never saw them because they were underwater, but according to him, they'd been abandoned, basically. They'd been there so long that they had completely fouled and was almost solid. These cages have become solid from fouling and other strike of stuff on cages. So I think that was his concern is, well, here's another person that's going to put cages, and this may happen again, plus another person's applied over here. We did contact this leaseholder, and during that process found out that this is in the name of a company. The person that originally got the lease had moved to France, but they had either sold or given or something to the company. The company still is intact. It's a Virginia company. And the current operator was sent a letter indicating this issue and told they had 30 days to resolve this issue. They have responded and indicated they've removed all the cages. They believe they've removed them all, and they would check the ground again to make sure. I told Mr. Barr this. He indicated he would also check and make sure that he didn't see any. So, you know, we did have that type of activity definitely going on here. I don't think anybody else on these other leases nearby are doing cages at the moment that I'm aware of. They could. And, you know, when we leased, this was not protested, but Mr. Barr may not have owned this property when this was leased. This has been in effect. This lease has been here for a number of years, and he bought this property relatively recently. He's only known this property for a few years. This was owned for a number of years by a first man that lived in Germany and bought this property and only came over here occasionally. So to answer your question, you know, there definitely was aquaculture activity, cage activity on this one. Unfortunately, it was not properly done, which I think really kind of soured Mr. Barr's opinion about this kind of activity near his property. I understand they do use this beach and it's a historic property, so we are considering that in our recommendation, but we are still, I think there's a compromise here in that, you know, leasing this area or this area and offshore, you know, is a compromise between the applicant and the protester.
Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Fritz.
Yeah, I was just curious, what's the depth of the water over most of this lease?
Johnson can probably address that. Again, the day I was there, it was high tide. But looking at charts and aerial photography, you know, I think a good part of this whole area right here is at low water. It's just 2 to 3 feet. And there is a bar, a sandbar, that kind of, in aerial photography, you can clearly see, you know, the lighter color that comes way out, even almost out to the edge of where she applied. How deep that is and how much it drops off, I'm not certain, but I believe she's walked a large area that she may be able to answer that question better than I can.
There is no stipulation with VMRC about how deep a water you can put cages in, or shallow, or?
Technically not. It's just the regulation that governs the cages says that they can't be more than 12 inches off the bottom.
Okay.
You could put them in water that was only a foot deep or less, you know, at low tide. They would be exposed. You know, I would think you wouldn't want to do that in the wintertime. But currently there isn't any stipulation in that regulation about a minimum or a maximum depth.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Is Kaylee Johnson present or represented? Need to swear yet. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
I'd like to start by just giving a brief history of why I applied for this lease in the first place. In April of 2014, I started working for the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. That's where I first got introduced into oyster aquaculture and oyster farming. It's a very brief introduction, but I was able to get a few hands-on experiences. And then last winter, I was able to start working for the Chesapeake Bay Oyster Company. And that's really where I grasped a lot of hands-on experience, seeing how their day-to-day operations ran, and as something potentially that I would be interested in doing as a future career. And from working for them, even though it was a pretty harsh winter and a lot of intense conditions, it was something that I loved, something that I found great interest in, and something that I wanted to start potentially having my own business and running. And as many of you know, having your own business is a lot different than just simply working at a place that you enjoy what they do. So I wanted to start off small, to start off testing the waters to see how I would, if I would like having my own business and running my own farm. So I started, and I have been subleasing an area along with Tommy Leggett out in the York River, and things have been going great. I started out in April and put some seed in the water. I'm using the same long line system, the cages that are 12 inches off the bottom or less, and things have been going good, and I want to expand. So that's the reason that I applied for this lease in the first place, is to be able to expand my business and to be able to eventually get into this full time and to have that be my future career. And so as stated, I met with Mr. Bars in July, and we discussed his main protester issues were the cage use and then also the inshore area of his shoreline. And the cages, I explained how the system would be run, that they're a long line. It's a long line system. They'd be clipped to the cages, that it's very organized, that he wouldn't be seeing any of the cages exposed. There's no buoys. Really, the only thing that he would be seeing would be the PVC markers. And so he had never been introduced to that concept before, so that's something I explained to him. And he seemed to be okay with that. And also, obviously, the shoreline is probably the biggest issue here. He said he uses the shoreline with his family and would like to protect that and keep that so that they can use it and get their boats in. So we discussed these, and like Mr. Stagg presented, we agreed to the 75 feet offshore. And I had the map that was presented up here, something I just kind of redrew, because the one that we drew together was very, you know, had lines all over it. But he did sign that, and he dated that and agreed to that. And I have that copy with me, and if you guys would like a copy, I have to give it to you. But after last month, I walked the lease area, and to answer your question about depth of kind of what we're looking at here, 75 feet offshore is about 3 feet deep. And then I walked to the 220-foot mark, which is what Mr. Bars has presented, and that is about 4.5 feet deep. There is some of those shallower areas further offshore, some of those sandbars, but they're not that big in area where I could fit a whole long line system. There's a few spots where I could put cages if need be, you know, in an emergency situation and had to pull things offshore. But that's about the depth, is about 3 feet at 75 feet, and then it gets deeper to about 4.5 feet further offshore as you go. So something that I would like to propose is that the inshore line be moved to 100 feet offshore as to accommodate Mr. Barr's family. And then also, you know, it's to have a commercial business, I need to access my cages at a reasonable depth, and that 3 feet is a reasonable depth to be able to pull them up and to be able to work them as often as I need to. And then, as was stated, to the offshore area, having that leased as well, that total offshore area, so that I can, like I said, mention if I bring cages offshore for whatever reason, and then also to protect a buffer from other people coming into my lease and to my farm, and that I'll be able to keep that area protected from people that may not or may want to come into that area. So those are my propositions, that the inshore area be moved 100 feet off and then leasing the offshore area as well.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
Do you have a drawing of what exactly you're asking for, or can you describe using up there?
Yeah, so this line, as Mr. Stagg mentioned, was 150 feet, which kind of pushes you right about the 4 foot depth mark. And then I'm proposing, I mean, Mr. Barr and I had agreed on the 75 feet, so I want to accommodate him, move it back a little bit offshore to the 100 foot line, which would be, you know, somewhere right around here, just moving this a little bit more inshore to reach that proper about 3 foot depth, and then to be able to lease this offshore area. He has not indicated that even if he did have an oyster operation, which is why he wanted to lease this in the first place after I had met with him, but he said that he would not be opposed to me leasing any of this area.
Mr. Erskine.
It sounds like you are talking about working the cages in a certain depth, be it 3 feet or less. Are you actually talking about getting overboard in the water and working the cages, or are you talking about working them where the cage would come into the boat?
Where the cage would come into a boat. But ideally speaking, there are times when issues arise, you know, and you have to get in the water and you have to fix cages or whatever problem may arise. And so there will be times where I will need to get off the boat and get into the water. But ideally speaking, it would be cages brought into the boat.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the commission? I have a question, Kaylee. How many cages are you expecting?
Well, right now I have just about 80 cages when I'm subleasing it with Tommy. But I want to move all of those cages over here and then, I mean, expand my operation. Right now I have about 200,000 in the water, and so I'd want to expand to at least that or greater this year and then to the coming years as well.
To how many? I'm sorry?
I have 200,000 oysters in
the water. Oh, okay. And so I got you.
I'd like to expand to at least double to what I have right now. So I said it'd be about 160 cages to 200 cages.
Okay.
And then further expansion here on out. That's why I, at least the bigger area, because I don't know exactly where their business was. But.
Mr. Tanker.
So you've seen staff recommendation, and you're not satisfied with that. You want to be inside of staff recommendation of 150 feet offshore from mean low water.
Yeah, because that 50 feet is more. I mean, that's prime shallow area where I can have to be easier to reach my cages. So.
Mr. Tecker?
Well, follow up. Are you familiar with this area and the use of the protestants?
I met with him, and he did describe that his family uses it in swims and all that sort of use. But we had agreed to 75 feet, and that's something, like, I have his signed document. And I'm willing to accommodate him, but he didn't seem a problem with 75 feet. I'd push it back, you know, to 100 feet just to allow a little bit more space for him. And like was mentioned earlier, that I'm not going to put cages, along every inch of the shoreline right here. Like, there will be an area where he would be able to access, use his boat access.
Mm-hmm. Other questions, Mr. Erskine?
I don't know if it's a question, really, but some of this about the upland owner gaining access to his beach may be accommodated by the signage. You know that there will be, you know, new regulations that you all will have to follow with signage of the cages. So he should have a pretty clear understanding, whether it's a little inshore or offshore, that he can access his beach area from the channel, you know, and then not have a problem with the cages.
Mr. Tanker.
Yeah, I just would speak to family use of beaches. You know, you oftentimes people are not familiar with the area, friends of family, children, and they're in sailboats, canoes, boats, all kinds of different things. I lean towards safety with these kind of issues. I think signage is great, but that's usually for signage for people to know what's going on.
Mr. Zedra.
I concur with my co-counsel here. I think that we're seeing more people become aware of oyster leasing and the aquaculture and things like that. And I think maybe we need to come up with a policy so that, one, it'll make it easier for our staff, is to say we've got to protect the landowner's rights there and not allow leases right up to the mean low water level. And maybe we should come up with some guidelines to say that we're not going to lease up to, and whatever it is, I don't know if it's 150 feet or 75 feet or whatever, but we're seeing more of this come up meeting after meeting after meeting, and also people like yourself, you're doing a great job, and the way the listed present system is, you're doing the right thing. But at the same time, I think we need to be aware of the landowner's rights, because they don't realize that people can lease right up to their shoreline. And these cages, we saw the thing in Virginia Beach, where the guy had the cages all around the guy's pier, and people paying $1 million for a house, and they got a pier, and then they got all these cages, and then unfortunately the bad guys, like the guy that has the other lease over there, went to France and left the cages there, and they're like, you know, obstacles in the water. So I think maybe when we're looking at this, if we want to use this as a test case, is let's look at what staff says, let's look at what people say, and come up with some kind of guideline that we apply to everywhere. Because in this case, if we already had a guideline and say you can't build within 150 feet of the landowner's property, they could have probably worked this out between staff and the oyster water person and the landowner. And if you've got some area there that they can use the beach, and just like Mr. Tanker said here, I mean, you got people with these little sailboats and jet skis and things like that. We're looking at a safety issue in addition to the landowner's right to use the property. So I'd like to hear more from the staff about something, what is reasonable, and then let's follow that guideline, and then that'll send a message to the staff, and then we'll have an idea, and so will the applicants.
Mr. Ballard.
Question for staff. Did I hear you mention some provision that allows for navigation through the lease?
Well, the regulation allows aquaculture cages on a lease with no additional permit. In other words, you get a lease, you have the right to put cages up to 12 inches. Does have a provision in it that placement of those cages cannot create more than a minimal impact to navigation. So that's an interpretive thing, but we've always taken the stand at staff level that that means, in this instance, we probably would not allow Ms. Johnson to put cages all the way across the inshore line of wherever this is leased, if it's leased. She would have to leave an alleyway of some type. And I understand your concern that, you know, and it would be marked. You know, there would be some signage. Does everybody understand that? No, probably not. But, you know, that's the effort we've made with the marking regulation and the aquaculture structure regulation to address that issue. In this particular instance, to address Mr. Zedrin's comments, I mean, I think our staff recommendation is what you see right here on the screen, is the 150 feet. We think that is a reasonable, in this instance. Unfortunately, to set a policy that one size fits all is difficult because every shoreline is a little different and the depth is different. So a standard distance offshore here might not work somewhere where it drops off to, you know, 10 feet within 50 feet of the shoreline. So, you know, that's the best I can tell you right at the moment is how we
Mr. Erskine.
So I can appreciate that there's these kind of issues between, you know, upland and people like yourself that are trying to start a business. I applaud you for that and want to be respectful to the landowner. I really hope we don't move in a direction of setting a standard, because I do think every oyster ground lease application is extremely unique, certainly in relation to the upland landowner. There are areas where you can go reasonably right up to the shore. This may not be one of those areas, clearly. But I would note that the landowner has considerable amount of waterfront land and has the ability, it seems, to access his beach from a number of different areas, not just this one lease. And I see with staff recommendation that the applicant wishes to be inshore, a little of staff recommendation, and the protestant wishes to be offshore of where staff recommendation is. So I would feel that that's a compromise.
Okay, before we go further afield here, do we have any questions of the applicant?
No, I have a staff question. Question of staff is
okay. We can get back to this in a deliberation sense here. If there's no more questions for Ms. Johnson here, let me throw open the floor for anybody else who wishes to testify, and then we can get into the discussion phase with the commission, if that's all right with you. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify on this application, either pro or con? Please come forward, sir. Hereby swear the testimony you're going to give here today is going to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record, Mr. McMinn.
Doug McMinn, owner of Chesapeake Bay Oyster Company. I just had a couple of points I wanted to make. Callie did work for us. She's probably one of my best employees. I think it's interesting that we come to this point today where you have a young lady who started working at VIMS, sought us out, worked with us, and is moving in a direction now, starting her own company, doing what this state has actually, by law, set forward she's allowed to do. I think, as I was watching this from behind the scenes, and I heard, the thing that there are a couple points that I really want to touch on. One was that these negotiations, and that the landowner, the upland owner, said, well, if we push her back, then I'm going to lease that ground behind that. That's unacceptable to me, because that is not the laws that we do. do this work by. That's not the laws that you guys are set to keep in play. This is a first-come, first-serve kind of a thing. When you put in an application, and Cali is allowed to lease right up, or at least put an application to lease up to that low mean low water. And then those negotiations start. So a question back to you just to think about is, how are you going to address that? That now you have a gentleman says, well, if she doesn't lease it, then I'm going to come in and I'm going to take that up. For what? Is it to propagate oysters? Because that's what the leases are for, is for oyster propagation. I appreciate the concerns about safety. That's one of our main concerns for sure. The markings, the new regulations are great. It allows us to put up signage, as Mr. Erskine said. A navigable channel through, that's not hard. It's deep on the left-hand side if you're out in the water looking in. If you look at it on the satellite, there's plenty of water for him to drive a boat in. But backing up, there was a concern about the lease to the left, that was a bad actor. And we always worry about bad actors in our industry. They do give us all a black eye. Callie is not a bad actor. She will work with this landowner with whatever lease she gets, and she's going to make sure that he has access. She's going to make sure that those things are marked. She's talking about having 80 cages currently to handle 200,000 oysters. Just so you have an idea, we handle about 10 million oysters on our lease. We have about 1,500 cages that do that. It's not a set number. Things are always in a rotation. So if she's only wanting to get to 1 or 2 million in this lease, there's plenty of room for 200 cages off on one side. She's got a lot of room. Now, I think it's a tight spot, but it's a spot where she has been working. She's familiar with the York River. The last point I wanted to address is that I appreciate, so please don't take my comments badly, I appreciate what you all do. We function as an industry. We've been able to grow and be the top industry in the country because of what you do, because of the laws that we have in place. I appreciate what Mr. Stagg did in trying to negotiate this, but it came to a point where Cali was given an inch and the gentleman was wanting to take a little bit more. And so I think this is where we get to see you guys shine and coming up with something that is a good compromise so that we can continue to go forward. So I just want to thank you for that as well and the time that you put in. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? Questions for Mr. Stagg? Mr. Neal.
This goes back to the staff recommendation, the staff compromise of the 3.7 acres and of 150 feet off the owner's property. And I understand where that comes from. That's fine. What is the staff's problem, or why isn't her application further offshore in staff recommendation?
So our recommendation is what you see on the map.
Right.
However, I talked to Ms. Johnson this morning before the meeting, and we'd had some conversations over the last just few days about this, and she indicated, based on Mr. Barr still opposing and wanting to move the inshore line further offshore, that she would like to still seek to lease the offshore area that's not shown in our recommendation. And staff does not oppose that.
But that is part of her application, so that's...
Yes, all the way out to right here is her application line. And we don't object to that, and even Mr. Barr appears to have indicated that at least some of this shallow area, he doesn't object. I think technically he still objects maybe to this. What he told me was that drawing you saw previously, this one, you know, that he would apply for this area if we leased this to wrap around. So I interpreted that to mean with this drawing that while he might still be now be willing to accept, you know, her leasing all the way across if we move the line back out here and this area, he still would not want us to lease these deeper areas. But having said that, we don't really have any concern with leasing all of this area as an amended recommendation. But we think this compromise line is you know, it's a compromise of a compromise of a compromise. Basically, she applied here. She moved 75. We moved off 220. We came back to 150. She's now requesting to come a little closer again between what we offered and the 75 back to 100. So and that's up to y'all. But that is a primary, I think, that she could use is that additional.
Just as a follow-up comment, that would be what I would go with staff recommendation inshore line, but give her everything else she's asked for, which is a compromise of a compromise of a compromise of another compromise, I guess.
Right. Let me, for the record here, close the public hearing. Okay. Public hearing is closed. Mr. France.
Yeah, legally, she has the right to apply for all of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, her application basically, I mean, she didn't apply necessarily go right up to mean low water, but this is a pretty good representation of what she asked for originally.
Uh-huh.
Was to come in fairly close to these on groins.
And as long as she marks it
right.
A navigable channel this to get in.
This is what her surveyor surveyed, which is pretty close to what you just saw as far as the application. So those groins are shore of this pond slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Not shown on this drawing, but.
Mr. Tanker. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. France, go ahead.
Just follow up. As long as she marks a channel through her cages that's clear for the landowner or whoever wants to get to the beach,
right.
That's
I mean,
fine.
If she would have used this whole area along the line, we would probably want her to do make some accommodation. But, again, remember that it's real shallow. This area right here is real shallow. So my opinion is bringing any kind of boat in, even a jet ski, you would probably want to come in from either from the east or maybe west. Now, if these people redo cages out here, you might not want to come in this way. But there aren't any cages I know of on this lease, and the water does get deeper as you go to the east and offshore. So, you know, I would think the access to get to this beach would generally be this way. And we might tell her, you know, that cages right in this area are not appropriate if you lease this area. Kind of do that on a case-by-case basis, which comes back to Mr. Zietman's policy issue. But
Mr. Tankard.
Let me get myself straight here. So the 3.7 acres represents what?
This was my final attempt, to come up with a compromise between the 75 feet Ms. Johnson thought she had agreement
right.
with Mr. Barr, and the 220 feet that after my visit, he indicated he would like to see the distance offshore.
Right.
So this is not exactly halfway between that, but it's, you know, it's close. And that's what this represents.
But the lease that she really wants continues further down, south.
She's indicated that she would like to go ahead and lease this area.
Okay, so there's no application.
She's not objecting to some of that offshore area as we speak, I don't believe, based on what he sent us.
But yes, her
she also asked to come
that.
A little
permit.
Closer.
Her application does include that.
Includes,
her application
yes.
does include this area.
Okay.
It goes all the way out to right here. That's what she originally applied for, was all the way out to there.
So why isn't your bottom line all the way to that?
Well, when I proffered this, even when I wrote the eval, I hadn't heard back from everybody as to whether this was acceptable. So we kind of just stuck with that evaluation, and then I had some subsequent conversations with Ms. Johnson that she said, well, you know, I would still like to really lease this. And as I noted just a minute ago, I'm willing to offer an amended evaluation that we lease all the way out.
Okay.
So you're going to probably talk about 7 or 8 acres here out of the 10 she applied for.
Ms. Erskine.
So I hear a couple things. One is the applicant would like originally the entire area that did go out channelward to the bottom line. And the protestant says he actually feels comfortable with the line that goes straight to the east, cutting off more of that inshore area.
This is the drawing you have with your email.
Correct.
This is the drawing he had sent me last week as well to move this line back out. This out here is okay at 150, apparently.
So
the most recent compromise I offered, he says, no, this is still too close over here. He goes, but he also indicated that this is still deep off, is still only about 3 feet deep out here. So I interpret this, based on conversations I've also had, that he wouldn't object to her leasing out here either. Apparently he still maybe objects to these two areas. But
so I guess Pat
doesn't have an issue with that. I think if you're going to lease this, you ought to not make it this odd shape that he's suggesting.
So I guess my point is the applicant also testified that she would be maintaining and working this farm from the boat predominantly.
Yes.
But there's a bar that goes out there, which the protestant says is still shallow. So if you give her the applicant the area offshore, it's still shallow enough to get overboard if needed to handle some of these cages and allow the protestant to move the lease offshore slightly where he wants his line. It seems to be a reasonable compromise, but...
That's up to y'all. You're saying what Wade's asked to move this line off right here would be a reasonable compromise if she could use this area up here.
Correct.
I mean, I guess it's reasonable. It's up to y'all.
Anyone else?
There's been a lot of give and take on this over time. And, you know, get used to it. I got 75 protested applications, so you're going to see it.
Merry Christmas.
Ms. A.
You said you would prefer not to have that shape.
Well,
so if we cut
I just
off.
I thought this was kind of odd to whether we move the line here or leave it there to add this in this odd shape is. I mean, we've got leases that look like that, but I would say just why not lease all the offshore.
So you would be okay with it? All of the offshore?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess it's really down to now we're talking about whether this little wedge here is appropriate or not. Whether we move this one further off or leave it. This is about 150 feet offshore, this line. This is back to being 200 plus right here.
Commission operates on motions.
And I'll make a motion.
Mr. Neal, what's the motion?
To approve the lease based on staff's recommended inshore line, but to grant her original request all the way to the offshore.
Second. Second by Mr. Zedrin. Do we all understand the motion?
So it would be this configuration you see all the way offshore to where she applied.
That's correct.
Right.
As he heads nodding, I think everybody has understanding. Any discussion on the motion?
I would just ask Mr. Stagg if this configuration is manageable for staff over the long period of time.
I believe it is.
Okay.
Then I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well, considering this to be a very reasonable accommodation for all parties involved. The motion passes unanimously.